Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, biohacking pioneer and creator of Breath Church, Sage Rader.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Pete Rango. I am Mark Leisure. And now, our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so looking forward to the show, I just have to say. Actually, I've had an opportunity to see some really exciting things lately, and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra was one of them. I have to give a shout out to soloist, pianist Isata Kena Mason, who was amazing. She did an amazing job. Actually, the whole orchestra did, with conductor Vasily Petrenko. It was quite an amazing show. And what was interesting, and why I'm sharing it, is because I was sitting in the second row, which was a wonderful experience, and directly in front of us was a very young family, father, mother, and I would have to say two kids, a girl and a boy, I don't know, 8 and 10 maybe. So lovely was it to see the kids so well behaved, and them being at a classical music performance. And it was such a wonderful moment that I just had to share with the parents as I was leaving at the end of the night. I said, you know, your kids are so well behaved and so good to see them here at a classical music performance. And the dad just beamed, and he said, well, our kids are studying music, so we wanted to help inspire them. And I said, oh, what are they studying? And he said, well, one of them studying piano, the other one's studying violin. And I pointed to my friend and I said, well, he's a professional pianist, and I studied violin when I was a kid. The mother chimed in right away, and she said, did you ever pick up the piano after violin? I said, well, actually not professionally, but yes, I do play the piano. And she said, well, then I want to know. Now, she didn't turn to my friend who was a professional pianist. She wanted to know from me, who was not a professional pianist, if studying the violin helped me at all in playing the piano. Because I think it was the daughter had decided to skip violin altogether after many years, or however many years, and decided to pick up the piano. And I think the parents wanted to know if they had just wasted all their time and money. And I thought it was a great question. And my answer was absolutely yes. Studying the violin helped me a lot with the piano, and it helped me a lot with a lot of things. And I think it's interesting. It's an interesting question, because it actually comes up a lot, where we study something like XYZ, but we end up doing ABC, and we think that XYZ has nothing to do with ABC, but it does. I'm sure it does, because everything does. And as a matter of fact, if we don't make the connection, then we're kind of losing out or missing out on what everything has to offer to everything else. So I bring this up because our guest is going to talk about a lot of things, but I think it's because he's done a lot of things, that, and he's also had some not very fun things happen to him, of which he's either had to learn from or not learn from. that's why I bring it up. So I think he's going to, and he's also a violinist. So with that, I'm going to jump right in. He is a recording artist. He's a producer. He's a biohacking pioneer, a classical violinist. He's a published poet and creator of Breath Church and neuroacrobatics and breathwork. Welcome, Sage Rader, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you very much, Filippo. It's great to be here.
Does learning violin help with the piano or anything else in life? I know a mother who wants to know.
That's a great question. I think personally, and I'm a little biased, I think it helps with everything.
Everything.
Else. Everything. There's nothing that I do that doesn't require a little bit of grace. And violin teaches grace. There's nothing more frustrating than knowing what you want to play, hearing your favorite concert violinist play it, and then sitting down to do the thing yourself, and nothing like the other thing comes out. And in that moment, you have this very delicate wooden box in your hand, and you could do a lot of things with it to express your frustration, and grace is required to learn the violin, and I've hopefully applied that one or two other areas in my life.
Well, you record a lot, and so obviously you get something to sound absolutely beautiful. I've heard it coming out of that what did you call it, wooden box?
Yes.
So we could talk more about that, but this leads to that, and then you bring it all together, and here we are. So let's talk about some of the this's that leads to that's, and some of them not being fun this's.
Yeah, sure. Wow. This journey in particular, where everything coalesced around the need to live, started in 2014 with a workplace injury. And that happens to a lot of people.
To live.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I've been confronted a number of times with the opportunity to not live. And I have found this incessant need somewhere in every cell of my being, and I have become quite clever at staying alive, sometimes against medical advice. I've used music, and I've used breath, and I was injured. I went down, and I went the traditional route. When you have a very, very serious workplace injury, and they want to do a surgery on your neck, and they tell you how serious it is, and you're like, okay, great. Oh, that's terrible, but let's get it done. So I did that, and that began a very, very, very slippery slope of pills, powders, potions, lotions, and procedures that did not work well for me. And so I found myself about a year later, 320 so pounds, opioid dependent in Appalachia. Everyone had given up on me, and I was being told to just take my pills and live my life, and whatever I had left was going to be good. I was in mind-blowing pain, and I didn't realize that the fusion had failed. So I had a failed fusion with what turned out to be 3 millimeters of movement between two of my vertebrae and my neck. So every time the movement of any normal head turn or anything, let alone what I was doing at the time, CrossFit, yoga, all the things that I needed to do, any of those movements were just causing mind-blowing sensation. And so I figured out at this time what was required. I went to a clinic, and they used a bunch of what's now called biohacking. That word didn't even exist at the time. But all of the modalities that are quite common now, oxygen, dynamic motion therapy, breath work, infrared sauna, cold, all of that stuff was a part of a toolkit that I'd been using for years to manage my own discomfort in New York City. Russian Turkish baths represent, whoop. So I was doing that 25 years ago, 30 years ago, before it was cool. And I knew that there was something other than, quote unquote, modern allopathic medicine. I just wasn't sure what it was. So I went to this clinic. They showed me the tools. I came back from the clinic. 2 weeks out, I was unable to walk again. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I borrowed some money on a credit card, bought my first piece of equipment. Long story short, I figured out a mixture of what people call biohacking now and then Bruce Lipton's biology of belief, the way you think while you ... is the most important thing, epigenetics. And then I discovered breath. And I discovered it in the most traditional, conventional way, and it blew my mind. What I started to do, though, when I had a lot of time laying around in Appalachia, being laughed at by my primary care physicians and practitioners and everyone everywhere for all of this hokum that I was telling them was going to help or had helped and changed my life, and you're never going to believe it, I had a lot of time to lay around thinking and breathing. And what I discovered was that the way you think while you breathe is more important than how you're breathing in a pattern. That's very unpopular right now because, in the meantime, breath work has blown up and become huge.
Yeah.
But saying that breathe like this for this effect is like saying, take this Adderall, everybody. It'll do the same thing for all of you. Go for it. Ready, set, go. And that's also not popular. But breath work has become very allopathic. Oh, excuse my mic. Sorry. It's become very allopathic. And so people are treating, if you feel like this, then treat your symptom by breathing like this. What I discovered in the mix of actually not having any formal training was how I breathed when I was in pain, and I began to decode certain basic breathing habits and patterns that are actually prevalent in all of us, it turns out. Come to find out, there's like decades of incredible science, and I've gotten to meet many of the people who pioneered it. So I've validated this notion that I figured out laying around 300-something pounds in Appalachia. So I started listening to Bruce Lipton, and I was like, wait a minute, there's really something to this. And I believe it or not, to this day, I've never listened to an entire Joe Dispenza thing because everyone keeps telling me, you got to listen to Joe Dispenza. You got to listen to Joe. I'm sure everything I'm doing is Joe Dispenza for dummies. But I just don't want to. If I listen to Joe Dispenza, I'm going to get Joe Dispenza all over everything I'm doing. And I like to do it from a very clean place of just pure imaginative canvas and slate and colors and fairy dust and glitter. So I laid there, I caught a little bit of Bruce Lipton, and I was like, I'm going to run with this. And I pioneered a way that is now called neuroacrobatics of thinking and breathing. And it's just mind games, mental gymnastics. These things have a really bad connotation. I was like, what if we took mental gymnastics, made it fun, and I could release happy chems instead of cranky chems into my body with nothing but how I thought while I breathed. And we could get really weird and woo. We could go into thought forms and fields and all of that. We could also get very sciencey, start talking about psychophysiology. But as an artist, I like to play between the two, science and spirituality. And the highest form of magic is art. No one ever went into Jay-Z and said, hey, prove it. Like, prove what? I'm Jay-Z. Like, artists get to dance in this place where we don't treat, prevent, diagnose, or cure. We deal with the mind. We go right to the emotion, straight to the heart. Wow. We have a worldview. We have a thought, and we articulate it with poetry, wow, with music, with film. And so it turns out I can get to places in the human psyche when someone's very, very sick and very, very banged up, or very, very rich and very, very famous, that no doctor can get to. And I'm not licensed to treat, prevent, diagnose, or cure, but I've handled two of the world's, it doesn't matter, big pop stars doing crazy big stuff in front of everybody in real time and the kind of pressure on them. I ended up with a guy who, to this day, has completed $110 billion in deals, to his credit, and he's still going. He just raised another few hundred million. And I've worked with a lot of stage four everything. I just worked with a life-threatening cancer patient who had a very, very serious situation, and they were going to basically take out his lower half in the stomach and the upper half in the esophagus and sew them back together and say good luck. And I worked with this person, and they are doing exceptionally well. So
actually, Sage, before you continue, you know, we never hear of these kinds of things. So just real briefly, so the pop stars, what, the pressure was so much, or they were freezing, couldn't sing, like what's kind of, and then the person who's doing such big deals, were they not able to do deals at one point, or they, you know, like what is the kind of jump they made in this mind game?
So here, yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for asking that. So here's the flip side. Something doesn't need to be wrong with you. Too much good and too much bad are the same thing. Shows up in this nervous system as too much. So the pressure that they have to deal with when they've done something incredibly right is very, very similar to someone who's just been told they've got 3 weeks to live.
Oh, wow.
It translates. It's just too much in the system. So what I do is I teach people how to relax into intensity. That's what I learned. 3 millimeters of travel between C5, C6. Every time I did hot yoga, it was screaming. I had no opioids in my system for 2-3 years like that, doing hot yoga and CrossFit, because I had to lose the weight. I was sedentary. It was crazy. So long story short,
that was after you were in bed for a year or so, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Oh. That's where this started. And then I discovered breath. And then I discovered the other tools, and then I discovered that it was capable of being successful. But here's the thing, it happened very quickly for me. And I had to deconstruct my own success before it destroyed me and I became a statistic. A has-been before I ever was. Before I ended up a guru, there was like, this was just too much. And everybody wants a guru. And they will suck you dry. And if you don't want to be a guru, they will spit you out and find somebody who does. And so I've spent the last 3 years very quietly behind the scenes developing everything you've just heard with pop stars, rock stars, the world's top law firm, a guy who's done $110 billion in deals, stage four everything, with almost no social presence because it doesn't matter. Your following on Instagram means nothing. Your mastery has nothing to do with how many people follow you. So I'm working on mastery quietly behind the scenes, and my passion is Breath Church. My passion is people in pain. My passion is people who are ready to punch out because they can't take it anymore. Their pills aren't working. They're maxed out. They've been demonized for even needing pain meds. We've taken away the opioids, which were never the fault of the people anyway. And now they got nothing. I'm like, guess what? Actually, you do. There's a place where you don't have to have it figured out. You don't have to believe what I believe. If you breathe, you belong. And nothing, but nothing can separate you from my love. And the beats of Pete Rango, who we're going to hear later. So Pete Rango and I started 3 years ago. I was like, man, we got to get this out of the yoga studio. I want to do a gospel choir, a hip-hop DJ, call it Breath Church. We did one or two in Brooklyn, and then COVID, boom. So we did it online every night for 18 months. I did 4 months without a break, 7 nights a week during the beginning of COVID myself. Then I got some friends to do it, and we did it 7 nights a week for free for 18 months. Now we're bringing it back. New beats. Pete Rango was just at the house. We had a Breath Church boot camp. We've brought on Miss Monet. Monet of the Moon is an incredible young artist. And so I'm bringing a bunch of people around me because I don't want to be the cult of personality. This is a decentralized thing. Yes, I'm the guy. I invented it. Yes, I got a story. But if you're in pain and you need this, you need to find people, not just me, who can bring the message. So I've got a few people around me, and we're going to be launching soon. We're currently on Insight Timer. That's free, the world's largest meditation app. If you just go to Insight Timer and Google that, search that everywhere. You can't not find it. Look for me, Sage Rader. Breath Church is coming up this Saturday at noon Eastern. And we're about to launch on this thing called the Breath Source. They're rebranding as The Source. But they are an amalgam of some of the biggest names in breath right now. Some very, very sciencey, some very, very spiritual, and some very, very interesting folks that I'm going to be working with to bring Breath Church to that platform. And I want to do the anti, we've all seen DJ sets, right, Filippo, where they're in like the most beautiful location in the world.
Mm-hmm. And that's
I kind of want to do it between Mavis Discount Tire and a Steak and Shake. Nice. Like the between two ferns of breathwork. Because that's how it started, you know?
You know, Sage, when I was going to introduce you, I was going to say he's a rock star, but now I'm glad I didn't. Because, you know, obviously I'm learning here about you more and more. But you are on a mission to help 1 million people live more pain-free lives this year, 2024. So when we come back, I want to talk more about that mission. And when you say pain-free, I think it's not just physical pain, but obviously emotional pain as well. At least that's what I'm gathering. So as you learn more about Sage Rader here on the Life Changes Show, you can go directly to sagerader.com, sagerader.com. You can go to neuroacrobatics.com, just as it sounds. It's spelled out, neuroacrobatics.com. We will be speaking more with Sage Rader and Breath Church and neuroacrobatics when we come back. And as he mentioned, we're going to be joined by Pete Rango himself here on the Life Changes Show as our performance guest. You'll get to hear some of his music and the music Sage is talking about. And in between that, we'll have our Ask Dorothy segment, all on the Life Changes Show here live online when we come back after this. We're back. I'm Filippo, and this is episode 774 of the Life Changer Show. We've titled it exactly our guest's mission for this year. He's on a mission to help a million people live more pain-free lives this year. He is a recording artist, producer, he's a biohacking pioneer, a classical violinist, as you heard, a published poet, many, many more things, and creator of Breath Church and neuroacrobatics, Sage Rader. So Sage, breath, and talking to ourselves during breath. I'm going to ask for an example here because what came to mind is how we say, like, oh gosh, I can't believe I have to do this kind of thing. Is that talking to ourselves, but not in the way you kind of want us to? Or think
that's
we should?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Oh.
That's exactly right. Self-talk. Yeah.
It's especially when we're breathing.
Indeed. So while you're actually, if you think about that, while you're toning, every word is a tone. And so there's a resonance that's left with every word in your body. That's rippling. Every word ripples, vibrates. It's really impressive if you think about that. Your body is listening. And breath is an intelligence. Think about that for a second. Breath is an intelligence. So for everyone who's listening, if you just pay attention to your breath, start by really beginning at the tip of your nose. The mystics say that the beginning of the breath, the awareness of breath at the tip of the nose, is the beginning of the awareness of everything else. And so breath is its own intelligence. And if you get to know your own breath intelligence before you manipulate it, you'll have a lot better sovereignty. If and when you decide to go to an event, or a friend tells you to try something, or someone says, you know, when you feel this way, you should breathe that way. Everyone really has an opportunity to get to know their own breath, their own intelligence. And in your moment of need, your breath is the only friend that will never, ever, 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 ever leave you. It's always present. First thing to greet you when you get in the world. Mm. Last thing when you leave.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
So.
All right.
Pain, what does that have to do with breath? Pain is biological, psychological, and sociological, biopsychosocial. And so what I created was a place where the biology is addressed with the style of breathing that I particularly employ and what I've created around it. It is absolutely incapable of harming anyone. And if anyone finds that not beneficial, they don't want to participate in it, they can actually back it down or do anything they want. They could stop breathing if they want. I mean, it's a full-on autocracy. No, it's not. What is that? Democracy? Meritocracy? Anarchy?
Breathtocracy. So what do you mean?
Well,
about the breath.
There's so much demand that people put on the breath. You're going to go to a breath session, right? You're already feeling anxiety. And now, or you're in pain. Let's think about that. Like, and an anxiety and pain get worse and worse and worse because it's the thought about a thing chain, right? You have a thing. Oh, I got a lump. And then you have a thought about it. What if it's cancer? And then you get a feeling about a thought about a thing. Oh my God, if I have cancer, I'm going to miss Aunt Mary's party. And you're like, oh, and I have a thought about that feeling. Oh man, Aunt Mary already hates me. And then a feeling, maybe she'll cut me out of the will. And before you know it, you have a feeling about a thought, about a feeling about a thought, about a feeling about a thought, about a thing. And now you're going to go and do this breath thing that's supposed to change all of that. And you're not sure how you're supposed to breathe or not breathe. And you're going to breathe. And then you're going to have this crazy, wonderful, wild, mystical experience. And then you're not sure how you're supposed to integrate that. And then you're going to go home. All I'm suggesting is that we need a place where no matter who you are, no matter what's going on, you can show up and not have to look or sound good. You can feel terrible. You can breathe or not, the way the person that's leading it is suggesting. But you could still be in the presence of an entire community of people who are also there for the same reason, to bring their junk, to bring their stuff, and to rinse it out as a community. And I found that that's incredibly powerful. It's incredibly powerful to have a group of people doing that at the same time, in the same way, in the same place, for the same reason. And so it sort of networks people together.
And that would be Breath Church.
That is Breath Church. I had to create something that I needed myself. It didn't exist. I'd never been to a church where you could show up as messy as they say you could show up and they didn't ask you to leave.
And you don't have to believe in anything that you don't already believe in, which is your breath.
That's it. If you breathe, you belong. BYOG, bring your own good, bring your own God. I mean, for real. I'm not here to tell you what to do with your experience. I'm just here to give you one.
So before we move on, I was thinking of the other way around where we don't want to go. What was her name? Mary. We don't want to go to Aunt Mary's thing. And so we create something or we, you know, psychologically invent a pain or we have a pain because we don't want to show up for work or we didn't finish our whatever exam or something. So whatever it is, that's the sociological part of the pain thing.
I'd say that's psychological and sociological. Yeah. Yeah. But we don't want to go. Here's the secret. Almost every kind of pain or dis-ease that I've dealt with in breath, doing neuroacrobatics one-on-one with people and in groups, comes because I didn't want to go to Aunt Mary's party or similar. I mean, we truly have an emotion and we let them build up. And a lifetime of that, neural pathways, and I call it cranky chems and happy chems, but, you know, neurochemistry is quite complex and psychology gets wired into physiology. Physiology gets dragged behind your psychology. And guess where that bridge is? It's in your pulmonology. It's your breath. It's the bridge between what you're thinking and what the rest of your body's doing. So
you've done a lot of things. You had to do a lot of things and you had a lot of time to think and you've come to, of all the things, this is the thing that you feel helped you the most and can help other people the most. And it looks like getting together and breathing.
Yeah, it does. Honestly, I put on a sequin jacket. I grab my violin. We get some Pete Rango beats. I got Elton John Liberace moment. and we breathe. It's more Banksy than Buddha, man. I'm not here to save your soul. I'm here to help you save your ass right here and now.
So are there specific words we say while we breathe? Is there a particular way we breathe? Am I missing it? Like, is anything we want it to be with you together?
So yeah, actually, I mean, what happens is we start in a beat and then we will literally start at the tip of the nose and I go through a sort of circuit that I've worked on based on neurochemistry and some pretty out there esoteric stuff. And I could take people on a little ride and you hop on. And at the end, I'm like, thank you. Please exit to the left of the vehicle. Drink plenty of water. Don't make any major life decisions and enjoy the rest of your day here on planet Earth. And yeah, I kind of give some cues. Well, it's basically finding an image, breathing a metaphor. What you think about while you breathe is the most important thing. So the same breath with a different thought is a different breath. So I get you breathing. There's only one breath in Breath Church, three different circuits that we breathe it through. But you can't mess it up. You show up and you don't have any complicated breathing patterns. You don't have, people are like, I can't even breathe right. So I made it one breath, three circuits, and then we think about different things together that make us feel good. Turns out metaphor is the language of the cellular system. It's also the language of experience. And so stimulus generalization allows us to make patterns in our mind. When this happens, that happens all the time. Well, this allows us to break it, but without having to talk about the stimulus or the generalization, we just find a better metaphor, swap it in while I'm playing the violin, and the end of it, over time, baseline changes and things stick very quickly because they're your ideas, your metaphors, your images, my words. And then you don't need to think about it, have a heavy healing experience, a big traumatic release, no ab reaction, no shaking, no crying, no me standing over you in my Burning Man shaman robes that I refuse to take off for a year. Just, you know, it's a very normal life entertainment experience. I started a company called Breathertainment to bring it to everybody. So it's healing, but it's like healing after the fact. It's entertainment, and when you're done, you feel better.
And entertainment can be healing in itself. You're bringing all of these elements. I'm sorry, go on.
Like the classical music that you started this with, yeah. Which I really enjoyed your monologue.
Well, I enjoy your playing, and actually we're not going to get to hear any of your playing, but you use your playing, you use Pete Rango's music, and like you said, Monet, who you introduced us to, who will be on the show, I think, in a couple weeks. So, And you're bringing more people to the fold. And actually, in bringing people to the fold, what are you looking for as far as either music? Like, what are you hearing in the music or feeling in the music that, that you bring or that you bring into this work? That has to be there.
That's interesting. So absolutely positively has to be Rango Beats, which is, you know, that sort of lo-fi, very soulful, very, very, very beautiful chords, melodic. My stuff tends to be, I call it outlaw classical because I'm like a bit of a hack. I mean, I'm not refined after all these years and I just get up there on my electric and I get through it. But I compose on a looping system. So it sounds really beautiful and there's like four of me and there's just like one dude kind of getting it right-ish on a looper. But when you get four of the parts and they begin to unfold and unfurl and you begin to add a little bit of production so that it goes in different directions, creates a torus in the field, you know, neoclassical and lo-fi beats would be the definitive sound of Breath Church.
And all four of you are breathing at the same time. Wonderful things, I imagine.
Same way, same place, same time, same reason. We end up with the same thoughts.
So let me ask you this. When you said, I want to make sure I understood this. I'm going to be learning more about this, I know. And again, if any of you are getting what I'm getting and you want to learn, sageraider.com, sageraider.com, and neuroacrobatics.com. So the three circuits, that was the socio, psycho, and biological?
So that's a great question. No, pain is biological, psychological, and sociological, biopsychosocial. The same breath in three circuits. Ready for this? It's a sigh of relief, but it's in the nose, out the nose, in the nose, out the mouth, and then in the mouth, out the mouth. And that's it. It's a simple sigh. And it's so delicious. And if done so subtly and practiced well or not, over the course of an hour, about 15 minutes in, you go to a much deeper, much further, much more intense place, but it's relaxing intense. It's not like, wow, I can't stop. Somebody get me off this pseudo-psilocybin thing. It's more like, oh man, this is all making sense to me now. And my body's relaxed and I'm a little tingly. And, oh wow, the floor just dropped. Oh. And then you just like keep dropping down a little more and a little more and a little more. And you get to this place about 30 minutes in, some people tell me, and they're barely breathing, but it's so subtle. And the subtle energy that sits in the breath is remarkable. And you're never going to get it if you're or I mean, just not. You're not. You're stepping all over the most delicate force in the universe. So the mastery is all in the subtle breathing. And anyone who's been doing it for more than 10 minutes will tell you. Find a way to get into the subtle energy, the subtle life force, the intelligence that's in your own breath by sitting and watching it for hours. If you're in pain, it's amazing because you have nowhere to go. Forced. If you have other places to go, it's a little harder to just lay there and look at your breath forever. But you will be a master of human behavior because all I do now is I teach all of these people worth an enormous amount of money doing very, very well at life how to do what I learned how to do while laying on my back. Mm. So those of you who are in so much pain that you think your life's over, you've lost your job, your friends, your wife, your house, all of it, lay there and listen to your breath, observe your breath, get to know your breath. And when, not if, you get out of the bed that you're in, your understanding of yourself and the world around you will be superlative. It doesn't mean you'll know how to use it all the time. I'm proof of that. However, your observation will be very, very astute. So before you go step all over your breath, just spend some time, one breath, in your nose, out your nose, in your nose, out your mouth, and in your mouth, out your mouth. Sighing it out, dropping the exhale like a box of rocks.
You could learn, unlearn, relearn, and rebuild, right?
100%.
With intention. Wow. I thought I'd heard and tried many things about breath, but this sounds radical. You're radical.
Thanks, Filippo.
Rainbow Rack Star magical something or other.
Aw.
I don't even have the words.
We can hug. Want a hug? Little audio hug. Everybody join us. Me and Felipe are going to hug. I love breath, and I love people, and I love beats. And so Breath Church is a great place where breath and people
breath
and beats.
All. Church. Breath Woo. Church. Sage Rader, I look forward to more church with you in whatever form that is. I look forward to it. This has been fantastic. Again, sagerader.com, neuroacrobatics.com. You can go to Life Changes Show for Sage Rader. The page there has much more information and a video where you could also learn more. So, Sage, any last words before we go?
If you mean it.
No, really.
I mean, thank you. Seriously, you're awesome. This is incredible. And if you're out there and you're in pain, don't give up hope. Everybody, don't give up hope. I know it hurts. Emotional pain, physical pain. It's okay. I understand. Find me. I'm on the socials. I'm all over. And I care. I care a lot.
Thank you, Sage. Thank you a lot, Sage Rader. And with that, wow. I'm breathing. We have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Tom, and I need your help once again. You shared with me that you believe we are the co-creators of our lives. If this is true, why am I creating such misery?
Dear Tom, thank you for this important question. It took me many years to discover that we co-create our lives, and so I, too, created years of misery and trauma and drama. However, once it was revealed to me that I, as the divine child of God that I am, could change my life for the better by becoming a conscious co-creator instead of continuing to create from old habits and old programming, I've been very successful and have changed so many aspects of my life for the better. I have discovered that the most important thing we need to deal with is our thoughts, and I affirm every day that I'm consciously aware of my thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. Therefore, I encourage you to become more consciously aware of the fact that it is your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs that are creating your reality, and carefully choose the thoughts, feelings, and beliefs that will empower you and assist you in creating the life you long for. There are many excellent suggestions you can find online as to how to become more conscious and able to change your thoughts. One of the most helpful suggestions could be for you to begin keeping a journal of your thoughts. You might want to check out psychcentral.com health and read their article on how to be more self-aware and why it is important. I also lovingly suggest that you re-listen to tonight's guest, Sage Rader, in our archives, as he gave us so many important clues as to how to help ourselves by consciously breathing and releasing pain. I look forward to hearing about your progress as you become more and more conscious of your ability to create good things by focusing your thoughts onto the things you desire to experience.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Pete Rango, here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this. We're back. I'm Filippo, and our performance guest is a music producer, creative director, and a Web3 consultant with a focus on artist development. Founder of, I think it's Zoo Records, and founder of nonprofit LIV, Life is Valuable. Indeed. Welcome, Pete Rango, to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, hey. Peace and love to you, Filippo. Thanks for having me.
Hey, hey. Peace and love. That's right. I remember getting an email from you, and you said that, and I'm like, oh, this guy's more cool than I even thought. And I thought you were cool to begin with. So is it Zoo Records, X-U-E? Is that Zoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Zoo Records.
So, actually, I have to ask you, when I asked you what that meant, you said it means snowflake. And then as I was going through some of the songs, I was seeing like passion fruit and I don't remember grapefruit, or I mean there were all these little like very flowery kind of happy things. Is that you?
So I mean, yeah, partly me. I think it's, I guess is what I, or what I bring into my life, right? It's most of the time when I'm in the studio, you know, especially when you're like making a lot of music, you don't really want to think about a name, you know, and most of the time I'm making compositions rather than lyrics at first. So usually just like, yeah, whatever fruit I'm eating right now or whatever's coming to mind, you know, and passion fruit was funny because that was one of those, the songs where the beat was made first. And, I love passion fruit juice. So, it ended up being the whole concept that the writer wrote about.
Nice. Okay. Well, we're actually going to get to hear that a little bit later, but before we do, so breathwork, we heard Sage just like share something about breath in a way that I have never heard, and maybe the audience has never heard. And so was it new to you when you and Sage connected, or were you like, oh yeah, I've been, you know, kind of making music around that? Like, how did this come together?
Yeah, so around the time that I met Sage, I was definitely exploring breath and breathwork, but I, you know, definitely wasn't as deep as Sage was. I had come across a bunch of different videos, and one of them was the Wim Hof, which is the most probably popular known. And that really changed my whole experience of the breath and understanding how powerful the breath is, right? I remember just being in a hotel room one day when I was traveling and I was watching these videos. I'm like, yeah, let me just try to sit down for, you know, I've tried meditation, and, you know, meditation definitely has some breath work involved, but it wasn't this type of breath work of like active, conscious, intentional breathing, right? So I did this for about 15, 30 minutes, and it definitely, I felt something, right? I mean, the first time I'd ever did it, I could feel just the more oxygen in my blood, right? Like, it really felt electrifying. And then what's cool is, like Sage mentioned it earlier, like the longer you do this, you do get to a point where I could sit there for almost 2 minutes without the need to breathe, but I know that my body's breathing, right? Just because you have so much oxygen in your blood. But yeah, I mean, I felt immediate benefits from it, not just from regulating my emotions and things like that, but also just my allergies. I've had allergies for a really long time. And around the time that I started doing this, I started noticing that my allergies were just getting better. I still have allergies, but they're not as severe as they used to be. So that was a really cool experience. But yeah, definitely has done a lot for me.
Well, we're going to hear Kinder Shores. That's one of the ones that you and Sage use for breathing church, right? Or breath church?
Yeah, that's kind of in that genre of lo-fi that we've been making for sure.
Okay, so let me ask you, I think it was that one. Actually, I've been listening to your music all afternoon and enjoying it. And I think it was that one where there was like it kind of felt like a little bit out of, it's not out of tune, but like it was this kind of thing. It made me feel like when I was a kid and I used to listen to the record player, and it was like somehow it, like, you know, the electricity
warping
stopped.
A little, yeah.
Yes, yes. And I'm like, oh, wow, this feels kind of organic, or like it's bringing me someplace. Talk to me, like, where did, I've never heard that in anybody's music.
Yeah, so I think that a lot of what making music is playing on that nostalgia, right? And there was a really cool experience I had once also with this guitarist who he could play anything, and you know, he started playing this one lick, and I was like, yeah, like, let's record that, right? And as soon as I said that, he's like, oh, you producers are so funny, you just want the nostalgic stuff, you know. And I was like, yeah, that's so funny. Because yeah, there's definitely, I mean, that's why we like certain music. It definitely plays on nostalgia, but with this particular song, a lot of that is just tape, right? Like making the tape emulation over the piano, and that's kind of what makes it feel a little detuning. Hey, what's funny is that I'm also realizing that I sent you one of the older demos, but we do have one where we did that slightly less, especially for like the breathwork stuff, because it can get a little bit too much. But I like a dirty man. I'm always about like you know, dirtying up my tracks.
Like a dirty martini. Okay, well, here's Pete Rango's pre-recorded Kinder Shores here on the Life Changes Show Online Edition. Oh, yeah. I could breathe to that. I could listen to that. I could hear Barry White to that, actually. Pete.
That would be amazing.
Right? Oh my God. I was totally hearing that for a moment. So I just figured out your Instagram and Twitter link. Pete. It's P3T3. Very clever. Pete Rango. P3T3 Rango. I can't believe I didn't figure that out earlier. And PeteRango.com is actually where you can go if you don't figure it out, and it's all there. And if you go to the Life Changes show page for Pete Rango, you'll see we'll have his Spotify link and his sound link. And so check him out. We have an unmixed master video of him. You are an educator. You're not just an educator of artists, but you take it to a whole other level, I understand, where you change like what being an artist actually means. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, I'd like to shout out Alan Zawadzki. He played piano and helped me produce that track. Amazing musician and best friend. And actually, Alan was the one that introduced me to Sage. He's the one that I was like, hey, do you want to do some break beats with me in a yoga studio and freestyle some music? So we ended up doing that.
Nice.
But yeah, so I think this is how the whole nonprofit got started. It was more about, we have to realize that we all have the creative energy, right? We all have the ability to create. And we were even talking earlier or listening earlier when Dorothy said something about co-creating your life, you know?
Right.
And that's what I'm interested in helping anybody explore. I think it's not just the artists that create. We have a chance to create our own life. We have different ways of expressing ourselves. And what is life really but us kind of exchanging stories and creating stories, right? That's what we aim to do with the nonprofit, is helping others express themselves, helping others see the value and kind of like documenting your learning experience, documenting your journey, and sharing that with others.
Nice, nice. Well, we're gonna hear you sing in Passion Fruit, right? That's you?
No, that's definitely not me. So just to give you a little bit more context on me, I've been a music producer for a long time. Used to be in a hardcore metal band in high school, and that's when I did a little bit of singing. And I'll do some ghost singing every now and then, but I mostly produce for artists and we'll drop collaborations together. So
I hear a question, somebody, a parent asking, my kid was in a rock band. Does that help with life at all? And the answer is yes.
For sure. Always. I mean, like, think about how many lessons you learn just putting a band together. And like, what's interesting is the further from high school you get in life, the harder it is to put a band together, you know? So if you're in your late 30s, late 40s or anything with a band still, like, you know, salute to you, because it's not that easy.
Yeah, getting people into the garage just is gets harder and harder. But you were going to say, so you have an artist that you've collaborated on for Passion Fruit?
Yes, his name's TK. I met him through my Web3 dabblings. I had this beat, and when we met, I really heard him on this beat, and I had sent it to him. It was maybe 2 years after I sent him this beat that he was like, hey, by the way, you want to drop this song? And he finally sent me the song, and we got together, did a little bit more post-production, and we dropped it. It's only available in sound.xyz, which is a Web3 platform, and we're thinking about dropping it sometime this year on all platforms.
Wow, exciting. Well, thank you for sharing it now on the Life Changes Show, so you get to hear it here kind of first. It's who was the artist again?
His name's TK.
TK, okay. And this is, of course, Pete Rango here on a pre-recorded Passion Fruit live, or pre-recorded, on the Life Changes Show.
Only thing that can save you right now.
Rango. Well, if your passion, your passion.
No, you're not. Do it. I dare you to say it.
Now I can't. But it. Oh man. So Pete Rango. Go check out Pete Rango. P-E-T-E and then Rango, R-I-N-G-O.com. And on socials, it's P3T3 Rango, R-I-N-G-O. Pete, you didn't let me say it. You say it.
If your passion fruit is calling you, go to prango.com.
What a pleasure to have you on. Please let us know when you do end up dropping that for the rest of the world, and then we can reshare it again. What a pleasure. So grateful to Sage for introducing us to you, and so grateful to Bruce Cryer for introducing us to Sage. And what already one of our favorite shows. So with a big thank you to you, Pete Rango, and all the best to you.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate y'all.
It's been a blast indeed. Thank you for us too. And with another big thank you to Sage Rader. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that if your passion fruit is calling you, if your life changes,
I'm dying.
If your I couldn't help myself. If your life changed, I don't remember. I don't know what I'm going to say. If you're, so, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
Ciao. You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.